Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shavuot Tov. Another Shavuot right here. Interesting Torah reading and feeding. We got Sabbath Noah. Sabbath Noah. I'm going to take a pause to the cause right here. It's a live stream. Comes forward right here. So Sabbath Noah, we got the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, as well as the Brit Hadash. Okay, here. Shalom, shalom. Shavua Tov, a good Shavua. Good strong, good seven to come right here.
This is Psalms 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana. Trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Word and they that
the world
there
and they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea.
He had born and he done the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill
who
of
Jacob?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands.
He that hath
and a pure heart.
And pure heart.
Who hath not lifted up
who
soul
not
into vanity.
Up his
nor scorned
his
evil. He hath received the blessing from Jah Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the Most High God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob of Yahweh.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say who?
Emperor Haile Selassie
I.
Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory, yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Emperor
Haile Selassie. He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Jah Rastafari. He is the King of Glory. King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Who is the King
of Glory? Emperor Haile Selassie.
Emperor
of Ethiopia. King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Conquering Lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself light of the world.
Abundantism, schism, Zion, Zion, the African Zion. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, I. see the man.
Yeah, yeah, the glory. Yeah, the glory.
This year the glory, glory, glory that we yell. I let us see I am a cut and Emmanuel. If you don't love my people and me culture go to hell. Anyway me I go sing it and I ring it like a bell. Glory, glory, glory that we yell. I declare see I am Marcus and Emmanuel. If you don't love my people and me culture go to hell. Anyway me I go sing it and I ring it like a bell. Every knee shall bow and tongue confess. I declare see I am the mighty first. He guide we in a righteousness. Some other man will tell you any case. Every knee shall bow and tongue confess. I declare see I am the mighty first. He guide we in a righteousness. Some other man will tell you any case. This year the king, the prophet, and the higher priest. There is no better way for me to trample the beast. Me celebrate as your victory and Mussolini the great. The power of Selassie, I has no limit. Children, be ready for the emperor. Selassie is the conqueror, the people protector. He is our savior.
A few of the questions and answers here for this second sabbatical study still have some questions from the overflow, you know, from Bereshis, from In Wisdom, In the Beginning, as it's called, the first words of the Hebrew Torah, Bereshis, signifying wisdom. Here, Alpha Blondie, just saying the glory theme, as Psalm 24 is a psalm for the eve of the first day, a.k.a. what's called among the Gentiles Sunday. But here, Alpha Blondie, glory, glory, glory.
Only the strong survive themselves. Weak heart dies in misery. Only the strong survive themselves. I don't wanna die in poverty. Give I all I need, ya. Give me warm, ya, you're my son. Give I all I want right now. Give me high, ya, you're my wine. Ya glory, oh. Ya glory, nah.
enough time. How can society cut out this spiritual concept within us? It is a spiritual bird which no eyes speak to. The place where you dig up black man from, Karen Batley.
If you should have asked I and I would have said the people that made cards up in the back of the glitter. And all fail. I'm excited.
Anything in you not to believe in, just be real and not offensive. Oh, I'm just like a night presented. I love and show on, I glory of the king we represent. Anything in you not to believe in, just be real and not offensive. Oh, I'm mentally, physically caught in the world of slackness, me said he won't let them get lost. They roam the seasons and then go out to be bought. Feel the guilty conscience in my ID that he does. So why you keep on saying, you know the right and do the wrong, you surely get the spank. So reading to the message I am sending, the words you've been neglecting, you say and I present it. I love and draw on, I glory prophecy we represent. Everything you're not gonna give it, just the real and not the fancy. Yes, I am not presenting. I love and shine on. I glory of the thing we represent. And if it's in you, not gonna give it, just the real and not the fancy. No, I'm His Majesty the King, forever re-entered to begin. So will you from the sleep and slumber. Open your eyes and look within. Go out from 1930, 2nd of November. Yes, and it is real, everyone should I remember. July 23, put it upon your calendar. He was born and raised in Victoria. His second night presented. I love and show on. I glory of the King we represent. And if in you're not gonna give it, just for real and that's offensive. No, yes, I and I present it. I love and show on. I glory of the King we represent. And if it's in you're not gonna give it, just for real and that's offensive. No, I devotion and fire break the evil conspire on a path, judgments upon another. I know it. I most I please be with my attitude. Show I the patience and gratitude. Alright, the time to go. I love and show all. I glory of the King we represent. It's not easy. Just to be the not offensive. No, I love and show all. I glory of the King we represent. It's not easy. Just to be the not offensive. No,
yes, 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 I'm on here with glory, glory of the King. So right here, first day service here. Let's go through some of the Q&As. So Q&As for this second sabbatical for Shabbat. Here we have Shabbat Noah, Shabbat Noah, Sabbath Noah right here. Some of the Q&As for you right off the Haftarah, prophet's portion right here, as well as the Brit Chadasha. So stay tuned. So we have the Haftarah coming forward, as well as the Brit Chadasha, as well as the New Covenant reading and feeding. So we went through the synopsis. For once, didn't catch the synopsis on the TJIF service. We had the synopsis, some interesting points right here. But here, to get into studies, we have the prophet's reading, Isaiah chapter 42, for this second sabbatical study, Shabbat Noah. Isaiah chapter, Yeshaya chapter 42, verse 5 to chapter 43, verse 10. Brit Chadasha, renewed covenant, new covenant reading. We have John's gospel, the gospel of Yohanan, chapter 1, focus verses 1 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, focus verses 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 1, focus verse 21. And Philippians chapter 2, focus verses 9 to 11, and the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, focus verses 1, 2, 3. So here for Shabbat Noah, Sabbath Noah. Question number one, what does the Hebrew Noah, the name of Noah in Hebrew, what does the Hebrew name Noah? Somebody none say that as Noah. What does it mean, Chaberim? Here we go to Genesis, Hebraically, Bereshith, chapter 5, verse 29. Noah, in the Hebrew means comfort or relief. Noah in Hebrew means comfort or relief. From the Hebrew root, the Shoresh, the root word, Nuach, rest. Question number two, why did Elohim seek to destroy the world with a Mabul, with a flood or deluge? According to the scripture, it says here in Torah, it says Elohim saw
that every intention of the thoughts of man, of Adam, of the children of Adam, of humanity's heart was only evil, hurtful, harmful, bad, worse, continually. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6, focus verses 5 to 7. Question number 3, how does HaTorah, or somewhat euphemistically, how does Jalor describe Noah, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9? Noah is called Ish Tzadik. He's called Ish Man Tzadik, righteous, justified. Ish Tzadik, a righteous man. He's also called Tamim. Tamim in Hebrew is blameless. It says perfect within the KJV, blameless, right? Tamim is an interesting word, right? Tam, like to be perfect. Tamim is like in a dual sense, right? He is like doubly perfect or complete, nothing more, nothing less. And this word is an operative word, especially in the third book of Moshe, Vayikra, called Leviticus, for like the offerings. The offerings had to be perfect specimens or tamim, like blameless, to say like without blemish. That means that as Yahweh Eloheinu, as he created, right, these animals, these offerings, so it's not missing anything and it doesn't have anything extra. This is a key sense to the Hebraic sense of perfect or complete in that sense, tamim. So Noah is called Ish Tzadik, Ish Man Tzadik, righteous, justified, righteous man, Ish Tzadik, as well as tamim. He's called tamim, get this, in his generations, the Dorotam, in his generation, right? One who walked, he trotted with Ha Elohim, with the true good, the true God, with Ha Elohim, with Ha Elohim. Question number 4, what did Noah find in Elohim's eyes? According to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Noah, he found grace in Ha Elohim's eyes. The word grace in Hebrew, is chen. The word grace in Hebrew, chen. It's from the Hebrew root word or verb. It's from the verb chanan. So Noah, he found grace in Ha Elohim's eyes. And what is this grace? Hebraically speaking, we have chen, coming from the verb, the action word, the verb, chana, meaning favor or kindness. The Hebraic sense of spirit, that's the letter of the law, but the spirit of it in the Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, is like freely bestowed upon another. It's a kind of a grace or favor that's not gained through a sense of obligation, you know, like you just have favor, you show favor to one, not because of what they, any particular thing that they did, and there's no particular obligation, you're not obliged, in other words, it's freely bestowed upon another. So Noah, he found chen, he found grace, right? He found, you could say, the verb of chana, right? Favor and kindness in Ha Elohim's eyes. Question number 5. What did Ha Elohim ask Noah to build? He asked Noah to build a teva, modern Hebrew, right? With the soft B, right? There's a soft B, right? And it would sound more like teva. But he built the teba. Etymologically similar to tabot, right? Within the cross Afro-African Shemitic languages like Gutas and Amharic, Now, what's interesting, as we mentioned before, in the Hebrews Teva, in the Amharic coming from the Ge'ez, right, the ancient Shemitic roots, we have Merkeb. Now, Merkeb, right, within the Ethiopic, the Ge'ez sense, right, is reminiscent of the Hebrew word for a chariot, or Merkaba, the Merkaba, a chariot, a ride. But he was told to build a Teva, or a box or an ark, right? An ark-like ship, right? A box. And this is truly it's the black ark. Now, why do we say it's the black ark? Because of that pitch, that kofir, that bitumen, that black tar, that pitch. And also because the kofir is at the root of the kippur, as in kippurim, as in atonement, that covering, right? Question number six. What were the basic dimensions of Hateva? According to the ancient Hebrew measurements, it was to be 300 amot long, approximately 450 feet long. So in the Hebrew, we say 300 amot long. That corresponds approximately to 450 feet by 50 amot wide. That's approximately 75 feet by 30 amot high. That's approximately 45 feet. Question seven. How many floors or levels, or as they say today with ships, how many decks? Right? How many floors or levels or decks did Hateva, right? Did the Merkeb, right? Hateva contain? Three. The top was for the people. The middle was for the living creatures, the animals, and the bottom for storage and garbage. So three levels, three decks Hateva was to contain. Question number eight. How long did it take to build Hateva, to build the ark, the black ark? And why did it take so long? Answer, it took 120 years, according to the narrative, according to HaTorah, it took 120 years to build Hateva, to build the ark, the black ark. That was time for Ha'am, the people of that generation of the earth on the earthly plane to do teshuva, to turn from the straight way and to Yahweh, truth and life, to think differently, to have a repentance, a change of mind, and to turn to Ha Elohim. According to Bereshit, according to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Basic questions right here. Next, question number 9. What people did Noah take with him into Hateva? His three sons and their wives, along with Ishto, along with his Eshet, his Oset, his wife. Question number 10. How many of each living thing was Noah to take on Hateva, to take on the ark? Script says, Torah says, two of everything except the clean, the kosher beast, seven peers of each, right? And of the fowl, also seven peers. So of the unclean animals, right, two, right? Of the clean or the kosher beast or animals, seven peers. The male, the zakar, and the nekeva, the male and the female of each. So we have the unclean, two of the clean, seven peers of each, and also the fowl, the birds, also seven peers. Question number 11, how long did it rain? According to HaTorah, 40 days and 40 nights, according to Genesis chapter 7, key verses, chapter 7, verse 4, in chapter 7, verse 12. Question 12. How long was the earth, the earthly plane, covered, completely submerged under water? We have here 150 days. And 150 days is approximately 5 months, approximately 5 moons. Let's go through a couple more of these questions right here. Some basic questions initially. Question number 13. What bird did Noah send out first? What bird? It was the Orev, the raven, Orev. Question number 14. What bird did Noah send out next? And how often and with what result? The next was the dove. Or in Hebrew, the Yonah. And Yonah is the Hebrew root of the name Jonah, was the dove. The dove was the next bird, the Yonah. Three times. You know, what's also interesting is that this is also the name of the ancient Ionian people that euphemistically are referred to in the later days as the original Greeks. You know, they said that the original Greeks, you know, were melanated and black peoples. Well, this is their name. Ethiopically maintains that name, and also in the table of the nations, we see that the one they call in King James Bible is Javan, the Yonawian, right? So we have the Yonah connection right there, right? But the dove was the next bird sent out three times. How often? Three times. The first time, the Yonah returned with an empty beak. The second time, the Yonah brought an olive leaf. The third time, the dove, did not return. Question number 15. How long was Noah and his family and his mishpacha in Hateba, in the ark? How long? A complete solar year, right? A complete solar year. Question number 16. Where did Hateba, the ark, the black ark, finally settle? Where did the ark finally settle? The ark settled on the mountains of Ararat, according to Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Question 17. After Noah and his family's mishpacha left Hateba, HaElohim blessed them and gave them a commandment, a mitzvah. What was it? What was the mitzvah? What was the commandment? What was the mitzvah? And how often did he give it? Well, Elohim told them to be fruitful and multiply. Told them to Peru, be fruitful, Peru, Urbu, Peru, be fruitful, Rebu, become nuff. Peru, Urbu, be fruitful and multiply. How many times? Three separate times, Ha Elohim told them to be fruitful, Peru, Urbu, and to multiply. Three separate times. Question 18. What are the so-called, what's called the seven Noahide laws? What are the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noah? The Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noah. The seven commands, Sheva Mitzvot, or Sheva Mitzvot B'nei, sons of Noah. What are these? Not to commit idolatry. One. Secondarily, not to eat dam, blood. Two. Three, not to murder, not to murder. 4, not to blaspheme, not to blaspheme. 5, not to commit incest, not to commit incest. 6, not to steal, right? Not to steal. Let's count this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And here, not to steal the 6, right? And here, the 7th, to establish Beit Din, right? And it was Beit is a house, Din of law, of judgment. Establish courts of law, Mishpat. Mishpat, the word for judgment, but also in the sense of the courts. To establish Mishpat. Mishpat, to establish courts of law. So once again, the 7, not to commit idolatry, not to eat blood, not to murder, not to blaspheme, not to commit incest, not to steal, and 7th, to establish courts of law. Note that some of these Torot, these direction instruction laws, are thought to first be given to Adam. First were given to Adam in the Gan, in the garden, the Gan Ba'eden, in the Garden of Delights called the Garden of Eden. So these are the Shava Mitzvot B'nai Noach, the 7 commandments, Shava Mitzvot of the sons of Noah, B'nai Noach. Once again, not to commit idolatry, not to eat blood, not to murder, not to blaspheme, not to commit incest, not to steal, and to establish courts of law, courts of judgment and justice. Question 19, Chaverim. What is the sign of Ha Elohim's covenant, his berit, with the creatures, the living creatures of the earth, of the earthly plane? And what was the purpose? What was the purpose of this ot, this sign? So what is the ot, the sign of Yah's covenant with the living creatures of the earth? And what was the purpose of this sign? Well, Yah put the rainbow, we call in the Hebrew the keshet, in the clouds as a memorial, like a zikaron, like a reminder, right? A memorial of how Yahweh Eloheinu promised never, ever to flood the earth or the entire earthly plane again. Question 20. What are the names, the Shemot? What are the Shemot in Hebrew? The Shemot, the second book of Moses, is known as Exodus in the English, but actually it is called Shemot. Shemot means a name, names. What are the Shemot, the Shems? What are the Shemot, the names of Noah, Noah's 3 sons? In proper order, right, we have right here on order, Shem, right, they have a Shem, Japheth, and Ham. I think the scripts have that Shem, Ham and Yafet. Genesis Bereshit, chapter 6, verse 10. Now, here, we'd like to just share this right here. We was looking for, there is this, in some Hebrew studies, want to thank Avdia Levi, you know, a.k.a. Zion Lex, you know, and also a few others for bringing, you know, this information forward from their studies. There's a downloadable app. It's called Safaria, S-E-F-A-R-I-A, Safaria. It's a really good app, and it also stands alone, so you can kind of use it, search it, you know, offline. And some ancient, you know, teaching of Yehudi, you know, from recent times, right, but going back to more ancient times, you know, before even the other Jews who call themselves Jews became Jews according to their own testimony and historical record in 740 AD. But what's very important about this is a testimony of a Rabbi Yishmael, you know, concerning what we've been told about the Table of Nations. You know, we've been told some truth about it, but the lie, you know, these lies, like one was black, and one was white, and one was gray, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But here we go to Hebrew Igbo, HebrewIgbo.com, HebrewIgbo.com. You know, I just got this new phone and everything, so we should download all these apps, and so he wasn't able to go directly to Safari, so you can look it up. But he makes a quote right here. They make a quote at Hebrew Igbo. This is a very, very interesting page. It kind of doves where we're at in these sabbatical studies right here. Let's go to the top of the page, right? It's called Black Hebrews, comma, Jews and Israelites, beginning off of Genesis 1 and 1, and says, in the beginning, Elohim. So right here, it scrolls down to Adam. There's a section on Adam. I like to go over this with ones and ones, you know. Then there's another section on God and Messiah. This is all on Hebrew Igbo, Hebrew, HebrewIgbo.com. There's the next section here is a section we're going to zoom in on, right? And it's called Noah and his sons as a kind of a supplement to this particular question that we're at right here, the 20th question right here. So it reads, knowing we, mankind or humanity, originated in Adam and came about through Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We must ask, what color was Noah and his sons? You may think I'm going to say that Noah was black. Nope. Right? He was white. Right? We're not saying that he's a white man. Check. But it goes on. You may think I am contradicting myself because I just made a solid case for Adam, the first man, being black in the earlier part of this writing here on Hebrew Igbo. Right? So why do I say he was white? Well, perhaps my verbiage is a bit misleading. To be more specific, I believe, he says here, that Noah was an albino. Now here he brings into exhibit Enoch, and I would say for ones and ones, get a copy, downloadable copy available, but get a copy of the Ethiopic Enoch. We have a very good study one, you know, at LOJS.org, but even the other ones, you know, get familiar with the content. Right, of, I like to say, Ethiopic Enoch, because though it was known, right, even in the time of the Moshiach Yeshua, right, it somehow had gotten lost, you know, or misplaced as the faith and those who were, you know, preaching the faith went into Europe, right, but was recovered, you know, by the true church and the professing Ethiopian Orthodox Church. But here, Enoch chapter 105, verses 10 to 12. And now, my father, hear me, for to my son Lamech, a child has been born who resembles not him, and whose nature is not like the nature of man. His color is whiter than snow. He is redder than the rose. The hair of his head is whiter than white wool. His eyes are like the rays of the sun, and when he openeth them, he illuminateth the whole house, the whole bite. When also he was taken from the hand of the midwife, his father, Lamech, feared and fled to me, believing not that the child belonged to him, but that he resembled the angels of Shemaim, of heaven. And behold, I am come to you, that you might point out to me the truth. So this is from Enoch, the 105th chapter, verses 10 to 12. The shock reaction of Noah's father would indicate everyone up to that point was born one color, or as you would say today, black, or some shade of black and reddish brown, so forth and so on. This was strange, the birth of Noah, according to Hanok, Enoch. Albinism, what is it? Albinism is simply an absence of melanin. This would set things up nicely for what we call today, quote, ethnic diversity. Yes. Again, albinism is simply an absence of melanin. This would set things up nicely for what we call today, quote, ethnic diversity, end quote, to come into the world. If Noah was or appeared as a white albino, right, man, was a new phenomenon, we can assume that there was no one else around like him, and thus he married a black woman who, Arthur here says, I believe according to the wide range of color and ethnicities in the world today had, and then he brings this forward, Ham, a black man, father of all the African dark-skinned Hamitic peoples. Get a copy of Antiquities of the Black Race. Secondarily, Shem, here it says a brown man, father of all the Semitic, he has in parentheses Jew and Hebrew, and Arab peoples. Thirdly, Yafet or Japheth, here he says a, quote, white man, father of what is called, quote, strong quotes, Caucasian, end quote, peoples. Now, here, this is the part we share this section to get to this part right here, from the Perkei de Rebbe Eliezer, or the Perkei de Rabbi Eliza, this 8th century writing right here. He says, a tradition according to which both Semites, or those of Shem, also these terms when they say Hamite, Shemite, and Japhethite, it's not really biblical, first of all. Really, you won't find Shemite anywhere in the Bible. You won't find Hamite, you know, anywhere else in the Bible, or Japhethites, because as over 400 years, a new spin on the ancient truth has come about and has caused what we can call today racism and prejudice and white supremacy and all this nonsense. But here it says a tradition according to that both those of Shem called Semites and of Ham called Hamites were dark skinned, and Japhet or Japhethites being the only, as it says, fair skinned son of Noah. This is found in rabbinic Hebrew tradition as well. According to the 8th century Perkei de Rebbe Eliezer, Perkei de Rabbi Eliza, 23 said that Shem was black and comely. We went over this before as well, and there's a couple of videos out there on this as well, and you can go to the actual writing, see it in the English translation, also look at the Hebrew, that Shem was, quote, black and comely, and that Ham or Ham was, quote, black as a raven. Isn't this interesting? So no wonder we have like the Shemites and the Hamites sometimes, so-called, right, being confused, or they didn't, you know, really, you know, recognize certain ones, like the Apostle Paul. He thought he was an Egyptian, and Yeshua as a babe, so forth and so on, right? And the Israelites as well in Mitzrayim. So here, this is testimony from even Hebraic and Judaic tradition, right, that says that Shem was black and comely, or as we would say today, black and beautiful, right, black and proud, no, black and beautiful, and that Ham, his brother Ham, was black as a raven. Now, he quotes here Oney Kirk in his book, quote, Once We Were Family. This is very interesting with what Berhanna Selassie, a.k.a. Robert Nesta Marley, better known as Bob Marley, you know, says that it's like humanity and his reasoning on portion of this part of the Torah. He says that, like forget that we have like one father and that Noah is our father. Isn't this interesting? You know, when they say, well, what language was this one speaking? What language was that one speaking? I ask the question, well, what language was Noah speaking? Because obviously his children to make some new language, and then the father was forced to speak their language, but they obviously were speaking his language. But Oney Kirk, right? Or Oney Kirk in his book, Once We Were Family. This is an important theme right here, right? I think Burhana Selassie, aka Bob Marley, he really hit it. And I think people have heard it, but may not receive the significance, of being family, that Noah, right, was and is, according to Torah, right, our father of those humanity, you know, three sons and all the 70 nations. He writes here on page 19, each of Noah's sons had a different degree of melanin. Again, each of Noah's sons had a different degree of melanin. Melanin is a chemical factor that determines the color, so to speak, right, of our skin. Ham had more than Japheth or Shem, it is said, right? So we have also Ken Ham, interesting, the one who wrote behind this book, the author's name, Ken Ham, right? Ken Ham, Carl Weiland or Weiland, and Don Batten say virtually the same thing in their book called, quote, One Blood, end quote, on pages 68 to 70. So this is a good section right here. Just wanted to share this, you know, because there are other, you know, teachings in Talmud, but as we say, give us a teaching, you know, of His Majesty, because we don't want no devil's philosophy, because even what is written here, even by the Perke, the Rebbe Eliezer, it perfectly agrees even what we have elsewhere, you know. And then we start to think, if they were black, right, you know, that humanity was what we would call generally black, how do we get all this diversity? Well, think about the father, Noah, right, and those genes, and passing on those genes to his children, right, and then as things would get along, and also that the children of Noah, right, they stayed together for almost like, what was it, about 10 or so generations, many generations, right, after the flood. They lived together, right? They lived together over in the east, right? And some even lived together in the west. I'm talking about between the two rivers, Mesopotamia or Sumer, you know, the Aram Naharaim, you know, the Aram of the two rivers. And also as they would move westward, right, returning to that cradle of humanity, you know, what is called today Africa, or, you know, the rivers, you know what I mean, the Gihon, and even further south at that route. But anyway, be that as it may, right here, just wanted to segue with that right there, you know. And here, let's go with question 21. So Ham had four sons. Name three of them and the countries their names represent, right? So we have Cush, right? Cush, or some might say Cush, right? But Cush. We have Ethiopia, right? Mizraim. We have Egypt, right? Or the Tawi, the two lands. Phut or Put, right? Some say Libya, right? And Canaan or Canaan, some say Phoenicia, right? And here a reference into Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. Now we have question 22. According to Judaic, right, Yehudi and Judaic tradition, who was Nimrod? Who was Nimrod, also known as Namrud? Right, Namrud, Nimrod. Who was Nimrod? Nimrod was a son of Cush, right? Grandson, in this context, of Noah, who became a mighty warrior on the earth, according to Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Now, I didn't read the next section of this, but right after the portion on Noah and his sons, there's this portion right here on Nimrod, right, on Nimrod, on HebrewIgbo.com. It says, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter, listening to Yahuwah before Jehovah. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, listening to Yahuwah, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh or Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Kala and Rezin. Between Nineveh and Kala, the same is a great city. And Mitzrayim begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Nephtuhim and Patrusim and Kasluhim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 to 14. Now, Nimrod, who is a son of Cush, which according to Bible dictionaries, right, according to the Bible dictionaries out there, they say it means black, was a descendant of Ham, according to Genesis 10 and 6, right, father of the Canaanite nations, and was the first world ruler, right, after the flood, until divine confounding of the languages at Babel in Genesis chapter 11. Now, according to counterfeit Christianity and, you know, those who call themselves Jews who give a counterfeit narrative, you know, Nimrod is greatly always kind of demonized, but we will point to a better perspective of it, right? Namely, the Book of Adam, the Book of Adam and Eve, the Ethiopic Book of Adam and Eve, contending against Satan, which goes into a little more of the ancient perspective, like the perspective of Shem that we brought forward, and also like the Book of Enoch. A lot of this was known but kind of kept away from the people. That's why in these latter days of the Gentiles, it's interesting that ones are recovering, you know, that suppressed. It's like truth crushed to the earth will rise again. Question 23. Years after the Mabul, after the flood, the deluge, the people of the earth built a tower. And we say years, right? People think like when they're reading the Bible, it seems like it happened like the next day. You know, like after they left from that chapter, it went to the next chapter and it happened. No, these were years. You know, remember they lived together for almost like 10 generations. All of the children, you know what I mean? And in that process, of course, would have mixed with one another. You see this kind of idea that we've been told about the table of nations where they've inserted, you know, that racism, that Satanism. They've inserted Satanism, right, to cause divide and conquer. Like what Satan said to Yahuwah, he said skin for skin. You know what I mean? You know, this divide and conquer strategy of the enemy. But years after the flood, the people of the earth built a tower. A ziggurat, a tower. Why did they do that? Why did they do this? The people built a tower. Now, in the Hebrew, a tower can be called a migdal. Migdal. Right? Migdal. A migdal is a tower. We did a video. I don't know if it's on a new channel. I think it's on Rastafari Jews. I did a video where in looking at that particular terminology in Hebrew, it also can be a kind of a type of a pyramid, right? Like a ziggurat is a kind of a different sort of a pyramid structure. But basically, the migdal can also define a pyramid or a ziggurat from the Hebraic use of words. Just a note there. So the people built a tower, a migdal, right? Right? And to fight, some say, against Elohim. Or to protect themselves, some say, or to protect themselves from the threat of another flood. Now, the ringleader, right, of this so-called New World Order project is often ascribed to be Nimrod. This is what's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's often ascribed to be Nimrod. right? Elohim judged the people. We'll get into that. But Elohim judged the people by confounding their language. Now, I'm not saying that Nimrod was completely innocent, right? But, you know, there was the good side to Nimrod, you know what I mean? Before he also and those after him was tempted, right? Then came the confounding of the language. Remember in chapter 11, it says that the whole earth was of Sifah Ahat. Is it one language and one speech? Well, actually, in the Hebrew, it comes out to be one female tongue, Sifah Ahat. Ahat is to say one in the feminine sense, Ahat, right? Sifah Ahat, a one mother tongue. They had one mother tongue. Did they not have one mother? Right? Then Shem, Ham, and Yafet, according to what we know, they had one mother. They had one mother tongue, right? And Debarim Achadim. Debarim are like words, Achadim. Like, it's like oneness and like a oneness, right? They had one mother tongue and one set of words. And when you study linguistically some of the ancient languages, you can almost see, not only tell how they were broken off, but you can see how they do derive from a commonality, right? Either directly or sometimes things are just flipped mirrored, you know, where words almost flipped around. You know what I mean? The confusion of tongues. Right, so the confounding of their language, which was one mother tongue and one set of words, Sefa Achat and Debarim Achadim, so that they could not complete, some say, the tower. Now, this is from one Midrash. A Midrash is like when we study, and some of the sages and scholars, as they have studied it and brought forward their interpretation, but based on various areas of scripture. And this gives us as the youth, you know what I mean, to look over that and to reason so we can iron sharpen iron, right? Now, according to the Midrash, this is where we get the 70 languages, also the connection with the 70 nations, right, were created at this time. The 70 languages were created at this time. Therefore, it was called Babel or Babel, Babel, Babel or Babal, it means to babble. Though originally the word was the gate of El, the gate of God, Bab El. So we have from Babel, right, Babal and Babel, right? So originally it was Bab El, the gateway, the gate of El, the gate of the Almighty God. And then after the confounding of the languages, it became Babel or Babal, 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 like to babble or like a confusion. Question number 24, right? What's the definition of Babylon? Definition of Babylon is confusion. Question 24, who was Terah and can you name his three sons? His three sons. Terah was a descendant of Noah's son Shem, and he was father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Question 25. Who was Lot, or as it said in the other language, Lot, right? Who was Lot, right, to Abram? Who was Lot to Abram? Lot, or Lot, was Abram's brother's Haran's son. Again, Lot was Abram's brother, Haran's son. And therefore, the relationship would have been his nephew. Was his nephew, right? Question 26, who was Nahor? Nahor, Abram's oldest brother who did not go to the Canaan, but instead remained in what they call Mesopotamia or in the Aram Naharaim, in the Aram of the two rivers, Mesopotamia, that Suma or area. Later, Yitzhak's wife, Ribka or Rebecca, would come from this family, this mishpacha, this family, as would Yaakov, Jacob's wives, Leah and Rachel, Leah and Rachel. Question 27, why is Noah not as highly esteemed as Abraham in Judaic and even other traditions, right? But basically based on the Judaic Yehudi traditions, right? Why is Noah not as highly esteemed as Abraham in Judaic tradition? This is interesting because, you know, we would refer to, you know, even in the time of Moshiach, how the ancients also referred to Abraham as being a type of the father of the people, our father Abraham. But notice what Burhan Selassie Bar Mali said. We seem to forget that Noah is, you know, our father, right? And it seems as though, you know, as the Moshiach Yeshua said, you know, if one's not careful, you know, how the enemy will sow, you know, those weeds among the tears, you know, and therefore ones don't recognize, you know, that one. So why is he not as highly esteemed? Well, some of the Rebbanim, the rabbis or the scholars of Torah, some of them, they point out that HaElohim told both of them that he was going to destroy people. Right? When we look at the Torah narrative, both of them was told by Yah, right, that Yah was going to destroy, right, people. Abraham interceded. So some say, well, the reason why Abraham, we say Avinu Abraham, our father Abraham, because Abraham, he interceded on behalf of others. But Noah didn't. Noah did not. Now, this suggests to them that Abraham, right, was more compassionate than Noah. So that's one reason of why it seems as though Abraham is more esteemed than Noah is not in certain Judaic, you know, tried and tradition, right, from the past even to these times. Last question right here is question 28. What is the Hebrew baraka, blessing, word, sound, power for prosperity, increase, for good, for seeing a rainbow, right, upon seeing a rainbow? Did you know, right, that there is a word sound? There is a baraka. There is a blessing upon seeing a rainbow. Let's just cue this up right here since this is the last question right here for the Q&A. Yeah, should we go rainbow circle throne? Or see whether the classic right there, the rainbow. We'll pull that forward. So right here, the blessing, the baraka, the blessing goes, right, basic Hebrew, Baruch Ata Yahuwah, Eloheinu melech haolam, zoker habrita v'ne'eman, divrito v'kayam, b'ma'amaro. The translation of it is, blessed are you, Baruch Ata Yahuwah, blessed are thee, O he who be, who he be. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu, our Elohim, Melech HaOlam, Melech HaOlam, eternal king, right? Or some translate this as king of the world or universal king, Melech HaOlam. That's the basic opening formula for most blessing, the key word for a blessing. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam. Zokir Habrita, Zokir, the one who remembers, Zokir, right? You are he who Zokir, who remembers, Habrit, who remembers the covenant, with Ne'eman, and is Ne'eman, Ne'eman, faithful, with Ne'eman, Bivarito, Bivarito, faithful to his covenant. Winemana bivarito. Winemana bivarito. And whose word endures forever. And enduring forever. Wikayam. Bimamaro. Whose word. Bimamaro, almost like whose speech, like oracle utterance, right, endures forever. So the baraka right here, the blessing, The Hebrew blessing for seeing a rainbow is Baruch Atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Zokir HaBrit V'Ne'emana BiBrito V'Kayam B'Maimaro. Blessed are the I, O Yahweh, our Elohim, eternal King, who remembers covenant and is faithful to his covenant, and whose word, whose utterance, whose oracle endures forever, forever. Right here, upon the theme of the rainbow circle throne, the rainbow. Here's Justin Hines and the Dominoes with the rainbow. Yes, rainbow circle throne coming up. But first, this
stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
And here, the Bracha, the blessing for the reed.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher bachar b'nebiim tobim, v'ratzach b'debreihim, הנאמרים באמת, ברוך אתה אדוני, הבוחר בתורה ובמשה עבדו, ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art thou, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 1 to chapter 55, verse 5. Better my ab will let my fessa kadus haduam la. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yahweh Buruku. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, Yahweh Zabaot Buruku is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Kedus An de Israel, the Elohim of the whole earth shall he be called. For Yahweh have called thee as a woman forsaken and grieving in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou was refused, saith thy Elohim, Buruku. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, Buruku. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yahweh, that have mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of a gate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh Buruku, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it is not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals of the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh Buruku, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh. Chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat.
Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of Yahweh. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of Yahweh the Elohim Buruku, and for the Kedush sons of Israel, the holy ones of Israel, for he have glorified thee. Amen. Every day is a struggle trying to make it by. What do you do when everything you've been told is a lie? What I put on these lines, I be speaking the shit that you're hoping to find. They say that I'm out of my mind, eating a pork in the sight of the blind. Now man, see me wants to slay, rip the king till I see I. Straight out of Zion, I conquer a lion, my shocker is higher. I'm spitting the fire, repairing a breach, repairing a liar. Yeshua is the Messiah, only fools can never deny him.
Now
I see
till I see I. Now man, see me wants to slay, me rip the king till I see I.
Standing here spitting these words in the verses, revealing things that'll break all the curses. Canada tells me to fulfill the purpose. What's the reason for me being on earth? Things in the dark are beginning to surface. Ones on the bottom beginning to surface. Get the understanding with the plan and worth it. Under the characteristics of the curses, look in the book, understand what you're reading. Fighting the heathen, it's open season. Reason. Coming against the kingdom is treason. That's why I'm pleading. The time is at hand. In Ethiopia was born a man. Moa, I'm best to conquer in my hand. Up to the covenant, rest in Zion.
Zion, 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 Zion.
Yes, 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 brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. I had said, Acts, I was reading this little update, the Bereshit Haftarah. Actually, the Haftarah right here, the prophet's reading. That was Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1 to chapter 55, verse 5. Gives thanks when the Mraz Sahar Ahad for the read right there. And so here, coming forward for the Brit Hadasha. We have Matthew chapter 24, focus verses 36 to 46, and First Peter chapter 3, focus verses 18 to 22. But right here, keeping the theme of the rainbow country. Uh-oh.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarut Shel Habarit HaHadasha. Baruch atah Adonai Notain Habarit HaHadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, 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 important?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, Lamed Wow, verse 37, Lamed Zain, verse 38, Lamed Chet. We Hayom Hahua, We Ha'asa Hahia. Ein ish yodea, gam lo melake hashemaim, gam lo habin, bilti abi lebado, wiki me noach kein yehi, gam bau shel ben ha adam, ki kasher livne yme hamabul hayu, oglim weshotim. Nisraim Nashim, we not nim Nashim la Anashim, ad Hayom Asher ba Noach el Hateba. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour Adonaikum, what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom Adonaiu, whom his Lord, has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom Adonaiu, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so. 1 Peter chapter 3. The vicarious suffering of Mashiach, of Christ, preached by Mashiach through the Spirit in Noah. Verse 1, Yod Chet. Verse 19, Yod Tet. Verse 20, Kaf. Verse 21, Kaf Aleph. Ki Gam HaMashiach Met Pa'am Achat Al Chatoteinu HaTzadik Ba'ad HaRasha'im Lekareb Otanu El HaElohim Humat Ba'Basar Wayehi Ba'Ruach U'Bekein Halak Wayekra Le'Ruchot Asher Ba'Mishmar Asher Lepanim Lo He'eminu כאשר חיכה אלוהים בעורק אפו בימי נוח בהעשות הטבע אשר נמלטו אליה מעטים והם שמונה נפשות מן המים וכו דמות הטבילה אשר כועת תושיו גם אתכם לא להסיר חילת הבשר כי אם לשאל לנו מאת אלוהים רוח שלם על ידי הקמת ישוע המשיח For Mashiach, for Christ, also has one suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By that also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, that sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Elohim waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Elohim, by the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Elohim, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, Zayin. Ba'emuna nizchar noach vayas et hateva lehatzil et beito Acharei asher tuwa al debarim shelo nirim Vayar sha'a ba et ha'olam Vayihi liyoresha hatzadaka ekeb ha'emuna By faith, Noah, being warned of Elohim of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By that, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is of faith. Kabor lakalu, kabor ledimtu, kabor lachailu, kabor lakermawi, chaile salase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos,
So here, Rainbow Circle, Rainbow Circle, Throne, classic tune right here. John Mason, Rainbow Circle, Throne, Dubwise, right here. Today's daily psalm is 146, and we could touch on that. Have some overflow from Bereshit. First, this right here. Rally around the Rainbow Circle Throne.
Rainbow Circle Throne, Babylon could never get tied down. No, no.
up in the rainbow circle zone. Rainbow circle zone. Babylon could never get tied down. No, no, no. Rainbow circle zone. Rainbow circle zone. Rainbow circle zone. Babylon could never get tied down. Highly I children are the colors of the rainbow. You know the warrior know. Yo, yo. Royal and fair is the way to go. Me come catch the bubble man. Me not catch no fish me a row. You surely are go reap from the seed that you sow. Be clean even when the wind come blow. You still have season, yeah. Rainbow circle zone. Rainbow circle zone. Rainbow circle zone. Babylon could never get tied down. Rainbow circle zone.
Shabua Tov, Shabua Tov, Shabua, the week, the 7 days, Shabua Tov. Good, beautifully good, 7 days here, the first day service right here. We have a psalm, according to royal order, we have Psalm 146, the Hallelujah Psalm. We also have some overflow. We also have some overflow from the first sabbatical study, Bereishis, like to share, but right here, here, here. First day psalm, psalm here for this first day, 22nd, they say, of October 2023.
Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
That's the cue right there, there, there. Praise ye, Yah. Hallelujah.
Yibelu Hizb, and the people shall say, Hallelujah. Bekadase gize kamitmena noogin wadabeta Christiana yikabaso binor kadusata metz aiftin nabaya saisama. Ik dasu as a lotiskia fets emma by tages, kok or banuma by kevel, kabete Christian yilei, ye ekziavi herina hig afurswalina, ye sgana ye nefsa fetari, maleta ye sgana ye nefsa nugus, bemihon. በሰማያዊ ንጉስ ፊት መቆምንም አልዋልና ሐዋርያት በሲኖዶሳቸው እንዲህ ብሎ አሳ ተምረውና ሃሌሉያ If there be any one of the faithful that hath entered the church at the time of the Kedase, at the time of the liturgy, and have not heard the holy scriptures, and have not waited until they finish the prayer of the Kedase, the prayer of the liturgy, and have not received the holy communion, make him be driven out of the church, for he hath violated the law of Egziaviher, of the sustain of the good father, Yah. Way, and disdained to stand before the heavenly king, the king of the body and spirit. This the apostles have taught us in their canons.
I find that very interesting right there. That's from the liturgy, the Kedase. Hebraically say we say the Kedush. The holy service right there of the true church and the professing church, church of he of the key of great King David. Right there, there's a hallelujah. That said on the first day, that's a part of the reading right there, there, there. Right on here for the song. Yeah.
la luz.
Yah is a savior name, the savior name of Yisrael. We see it. One of the first places it appears is in the Song of the Sea, Song of Moshe, the Song of the Sea. I'm getting into some more on the true name, the true enunciation, the biblical Hebrew, you know, so we can know the true meaning of the name. And once we do, of he who be who he be, it becomes so clear in his revelation, his self-revelation. But here, picking up with some of the overflow questions from the previous, the first sabbatical study, RSS number one, Bereshis, there's about 90 questions. We had left off with question 57. Question 57 was, where does the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, Eitz Chaim, Ha-Ha-Chaim, tree of lives, actually, Chaim means lives, L'Chaim, L'Chaim. So you say cheers or to life, you know what I mean? You know, one lift up the chalice, l'chaim. But here we have the tree of life, as it's translated, but Hebraically, Eitz HaChaim, Chaim means lives. So where does the Eitz HaChaim reappear in the scripture? That's where we left off, question 57, RSS number one, for Shabbat Bereshis, Revelation 22 and 2. Let's go over that and continue for a few of the questions here. Hopefully we have enough, you know, time here on this first day service to touch on Psalm 146, a hallelujah psalm. So where does the eighth, the tree, the eighth Chaim appear? Now, the scripture, it begins and it ends with the eighth HaChaim, the eighth HaChaim. Somebody announces the eighth HaChaim, eighth HaChaim, eighth tree. What's interesting with the word eight? It's like it, right? In the gutters, eight, it, right? In Amharic, it is actually herb. It's kind of interesting. Tree in the Hebrew, in the older language, the Ethiopic, and coming down to the Royal Amharic, we have the it as for herb. But here we have the eight, the tree of the lives, the liberty. Ha-Chaim. So the scripture, the Hebrew scripture that's often called the Bible, right, from what's called the Brit HaYeshana, some say the Old Testament to the Brit Chadasha, it begins and ends with the Eitz HaChaim. First, in the orchard of Eden, in the Gan Be'Eden, in the Garden of Delights, in the Garden of Eden, of Eden. You notice right there, the Horn of Africa is the Gulf of Aden. And etymologically, linguistically, it's from the same root. Could that be pointing us in a direction? And then in the midst of the paradise, right, that's often referred to in Christian Latter-day theological terms as the paradise of heaven. What's interesting about that is that the word paradise, coming from more the Koine Greek, basically means a gan. Gan in the Hebrew is garden. In the Royal Amharic, we have Genet, Gan and Genet, the garden. So it's all about the garden. And in Bereshis, in Genesis 2 and 9, it reads, the tree of life, the Eitz HaChaim, was in the midst, betok, right, of Hagan, of the garden or the orchard. Then, this is in the beginning. Then we have, as we scroll forward to even Revelation, right, the Chazon, the vision. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. How does it read? It says, then the Malaach showed I the river of the water of life, the water of Chaim, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of Elohim and of Haseh and of the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. Also on either side of the river, the Eitz
HaChayim, the tree of the lives, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. Now notice this, that the 12 fruits from the eight HaChayim, the tree of life, the tree of the lives, Revelation 22 and 2, are directly linked to the 12 periods that's known as moons or months of the Hebraic and the Yehudi Shana, the year. Each month, it says, rendering its fruit. Each month, rendering its or her fruit. 12 months, 12 fruits. The sequence of the Mo'adim. Mo'adim are like the holidays, the Hebrew. We say the holidays, the covenant holidays. But Mo'adim actually more points to the appointments, appointed time, appointed place, appointed space. The holy days were always intended. The sequence of the Mo'adim were always intended to teach us great revelation about Ha-Elohim. That is why the Elohim created the sun and the moon and the stars for appointed times, for Mo'adim, for the appointments, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. As it is also written, according to Psalm 104, verse 19, he made the moon to mark the appointed times, the Mo'adim, and Hashemesh, the Shemesh, the sun, knows its time for setting. Now, note when it says, note this right here, note that further, the majority text of Revelation, the majority text of Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, it reads, blessed happiness to those or those who do his commandments, his imperatives, so that they may access they may have access to the eighth Chayim, to the tree of the liberty of the lives. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments
of the Ten Commandments,
and
Yes, streets of glory, the streets, them streets, the real streets, those good streets, the streets of glory. So let's carry on right here. RSS number one, overflow right here, Bereshit, Q&A's, question 58. What was the primary commandment, the primary imperative or commandment
given to Ha-Adam, given to the Adam, in the Gan, in the garden, in the orchard, according to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to verse 16. Adam was instructed to serve. And the word in Hebrew to serve, like the service, even a sacred service or other service, avoda or aboda, the aboda, aboda in the more ancient pointing, modern Hebrew, like avoda, avoda, aboda, and to watch. So he was to do aboda, avoda, serve, service, and to watch. The word in Hebrew to watch is shamar, shamar. To shamar, he was to avoda and to shamar Hagan, the garden, right, on Ha Elohim, on Yahweh's, Jehovah's behalf. He could eat from any tree in Hagan except from the tree, the eighth da'at tovara, from the tree of the knowledge, the science of beneficial and harmful, or theologically speaking, good and evil. And it was warned that if he did eat from it, he would definitely die, or Hebraically, he will be dying the death. He will be dying the death. Question 59. What was so unusual about Elohim's warning, Yahweh Elohim's warning to Ha'adam, to the Adam, about disobedience? About lo shama, shama, we'll say shama, shama, to hear, right, from the root hearing, like shama, but also means, has like a twofold meaning, like to hear is like to hear with intent to obey, shama, right, shema, shema, the command now, speaking to a male, shema, Yisrael. So command to hear also has to obey. So if you hear, you're more inclined to obey. If you do not hear, disobey, so that disobedience connected. But what was unusual about Elohim's warning, right? When Yah told Adam that he would mut tamut, he would surely die or die to death. What's interesting is in the Hebrew is the double negative. There's a double negative. Mot tamut, mot death tamut. You will be dying. You will be dying the death. Mot tamut, double negative is used in the Hebrew. That can literally be translated as you will die, death you will be dying, or die you will die, implying that not only Adam would die, but so would all of his descendants, including every living creature on the earth. This is the principle. Now here, we derive the principle of the, quote, federal headship of Adam, of the federal. It's interesting, the word federal, if you look it up, it comes from, I think, was it the Latin root feta, which is like faith, like fidelis in that sense, like semper fi, fidelis, faithfulness. So the federal headship of Adam, that he was humanity's firstborn son. What's interesting is that in the gospel, according to Luke, it says that, and Adam, the son of God, the son of Elohim, he was humanity's firstborn son and representative before, lifnei Elohim, before the true good, the true God, for the entire human race. Question number 60. When did Yah first say something was lo tov, right? We have him saying tov, tov, and tov meod. Good, good, and very good. Tov, tov, and tov meod. But when did Yahweh Elohim first say that something, right? That something was lo tov, lo tov, lo tov, lo tov. Not good, not beneficial, right? Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. Yahweh first said lo tov regarding Adam's state of being, his state of being alone, without a ezer kenegedo, without a helper fit for him,
and Ezer Konegdo, often brought out as help meet Ezer Konegdo, a helper fit proper for him. Question 61, this brings us here to what does Ezer Konegdo? What is Ezer Konegdo? Now, Ezer means help, and Konegdo is like to say like from before him, like a help opposite, so to speak. Like if you're right before, somebody right before you, but also can mean like an opposite. It's an interesting, very interesting, but the basic, the peshat first, the plain meaning first from Genesis 2 and 18. What does the Hebrew Ezer Konegdo, often brought out as help me? What does it really mean, Havarim? It means a helper, neged, ka-negedo, right? Neged in the Hebrew means opposite to him. Adam's Isha, his eshet, his oset, his woman, his wife, would be his counterpart. So the Ezer Konegdo has a sense of like almost like a help opposite to him, right? Opposite to him. But this is to bring out the Hebraic sense of would be his counterpart, a part, but it's opposite to him, Ezer Konegdo, right? A sort of a mirror, in a sense. You know, like when you look in the mirror, you're really seeing yourself opposite. If Adam, but it's still you, it's still, you know, if Adam walked, if he trotted in right choiceness, heal up, my fellow brother, and our fellow brother Ross Seymour, and also heal up to, you know, our great brother Vaughn Benjamin, R.K. Becker, you know, bringing forward that word sound of explaining simply, you know, righteousness, right choiceness. So if Adam had walked, had trod in right choiceness, right? Eve, Chawa, would encourage him to continue. See that Ezer Konegdo, that help opposite, that counterpart, that sort of mirror. If Adam had trotted about in right choiceness, then Chawa would encourage him to continue. If he disobeyed, she would likewise encourage him to continue. So even though the scripture says the transgression, the woman was first in transgression, that's correct. But the chet, the sin, you know what I mean, fell on Adam because of his headship. So here, Ezer Konegdo, help me, help opposite to him, help a counterpart, a mirror, right? If he walked the right way, she would help him continue, encourage him, strengthen him. She'll say to him, chazak, chazak, be strong, lenit chazek. You know, if he walked in the wrong way, she would say, chazak, chazak, be strong, be encouraged, wenit chazek, and let us be encouraged. So whose responsibility was it? Adam. Question number 62. What evidence is there of Adam's great intelligence? Right? What evidence? Do we have evidence that Adam, according to HaTorah and the narratives, had great intelligence? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, Adam, according to Torah, he named all of the living creatures, the animals, the beasts. Obviously, he did not just, you know, just randomly shout out names, you know, here and there, since this would not have been, you know, this would not have been made a point in the text, in the narrative of HaTorah. Adam was able to give a reason for each Shem, each name, each Shem he chose. Note this here, that the point of the quote, sort of parade, right, of living creatures was to show Adam his need for an Ezer Konegdo, for a suitable partner in life and liberty. Question number 63. How was Eve created? I said a better question was, how was Eve, Chawa, how was she built? Because the operative word used here is not created, but the operative word used here is built. You know, Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. Now, of course, I've shared this before, but that tune, you know, a brick, she's a brick, dun, 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 house, you know, it kind of brings out a kind of a high level of an ancient thing, even in that modern tune. But question 63, how was Eve created, or better, how was Hawa built? Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. Well, it is said, according to some of the ancient sages, while still at Moriah. Now, remember Mount Moriah, that was a place of the binding of Yitzhak, and later on became the temple site. But while still at Moriah, Yah put Adam into a deep sleep, like a trance, and then took out one of his Selah. We say Selah, not Selah, but Selah. Selah. It's like a side component. A side component. The translators often call it a rib, right? But we can look at it even scientifically, the chromosomes. You know, the male has X and Y, and the female is said to have X and X. So if we take this from a scientific perspective, it wasn't so much a rib, but it was a Selah, as you study the word Selah elsewhere in the Hebrew. But he put him into a trance, a deep sleep, and took out one of his Selah, his side components, chromosomes, to build, key word, to build Bana, to build Hawa, to build Eve. Note that the sages say we can learn from this that a man should act as though he were asleep when he is at home, not losing his temper with Ishto, with his Isha. Once again, many of the sages, in reading this and teaching their Talmudim, the disciples, they said we can learn from Adam here that a man should act as though he were asleep when he's at home. Now, I heard a Rasta elder said, don't be a lion at home, a lion at home and a lamb in the street. Actually, the lesson there was to be a lamb at home and a lion, outside the gates. And this kind of resonates here, what the ancient sages said, that a man, should act as if he were asleep when he's at home. What does that to mean? Not losing his temper with Ishto, with his Isha, his Eshet, with his Ezer Kenegdo, right? After Elohim created Hawa, he brought her to Adam and recited what we know as the Sheva Berakot. The Sheva Berakot, the seven blessings, Sheva Berakot, is the wedding Berakot, the wedding blessings. There are seven blessings, and these are known as the wedding blessings, called the Sheva Berakot, right? Over them, as is implied, this is the implication that we get, right? Even in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it is said that Elohim blessed them. Barek Otam, and Elohim blessed them. Question number 64. Why did not Elohim create man and woman simultaneously? All right, now this is I'm not going to say it's a trick question, but this is now looking more at chapter 2, right? But the answer to this is that if Elohim created man and woman simultaneously, right, it might have been thought that their purpose in life was to simply procreate just like all other animals. This is what some of the sages brought out. But here's what's interesting. Note that in chapter 2 and chapter 1, often people say, well, chapter 1 is the overview and then chapter 2 is the detail. But there are some strong differences, right, between the two. Right. But going on with this question here, Elohim created Adam alone, he reformed him. In chapter 2, he reformed. Then there's not create there concerning Adam, but forming. Right. And woman is not forming, but it's building. Right. So with a man, he squeezed man, reformed man. Right. Alone to teach that he was first, right, of all. Created with that primary responsibility to serve HaElohim, with a directional serve Elohim. Okay, that's the question right there. Now, question 65, we're going to return to that, examining chapter 1 and chapter 2. Is one an overview and the other one's detail? Or is one, right, that creation, right? And then the next one, chapter 2, a reformation. Question 65, what was Adam's first name? What was his first name for the woman? What was Adam's first name for the woman? You know, like in English, you read it and it'll say the man, occasionally they'll throw in the name Adam. But really when you see in most places man in Genesis and 1 and 2, right, it's referring to the Adam. So what was Adam's first name for the woman, Genesis 2:23? Since Hawa, Eve, was, according to Adam, bone of his bone. She was bone of Adam's bone, and she was flesh of Adam's flesh. He called her Isha, in the Hebrew Isha, right? He called her Isha from the Hebrew word Ish. So now in Hebrew, we have the terms Ish for a man and an Isha for a woman. And in context, relationally, it can also be a wife, a eshet. So sometimes we point it and say aset or oset, an eshet. So he called her Isha because he said that she came meish, from ish, right? With a directional ending. So the directional ending, not getting too deep into the biblical Hebrew, the basic Hebrew, but we have ish and then we have isha. The difference is that there is a hey, right? The Hebrew hey, the fifth letter of the Hebrew, aleph bet, at the end. And in Hebrew, when we have like, for example, if we say Mitzrayim is like, we say Egypt, Mitzrayim. But then there's some places you have Mitzrayma. So the ha is at the end, Mitzrayma. That means like in a direction. So in the text where it says, and this one went to Egypt, when it has Egypt there, it'll be not Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayma. So Mitzrayma, Hebraically, is that directional ending. So Ish ends with a sh, right? But Isha ends with the breath letter, the hey. Isha, that directional ending in Hebrew. Note that the Hebrew text here, therefore, with that understanding, it implies that Adam said, this time, zot hapa'am. He said, this time, zot hapa'am. Zot, this hapa'am. This beat, this time, right? This time, it is bone of my bones. This time, it is bone of my bones. Meaning that this was the only time woman would be so created. Now, some even expand on the Torah text and the Bible reasoning and say it's almost as though this is the only time that a man, metaphorically speaking, gave birth, right? After this, the situation was and would be reversed, with man being created, right, and formed, right, the woman squeezed, these processes, right, created inside the womb, inside the rechem, or the matrix. First, woman was taken out of man, according to the Hebrew narrative. Then man was taken out of the Isha, the woman. Question 66. What is the Hebrew word for the serpent? What is the Hebrew word, the biblical Hebrew word for the serpent, according to Genesis chapter 3? Verse 1, the Hebrew word for the serpent is ha-nahash. So the word for the serpent is ha-nahash, serpent, ha-nahash, the serpent. Question 67, or reptilian, if you please. What attribute was ascribed to this Nahash, to this serpent, to this reptilian? What attribute was ascribed to this Nahash according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1? HaNahash was described as more
crafty or shrewd. In the Hebrew, this is the word arum, arum, right, arum, right, than any other beast of the field. It's interesting, too, from some of our basic studies, the word arum also has an implication of almost like nakedness, not just a physical nakedness, but, you know, when something is very much kind of revealed, you know what I mean? You know, but he's crafty. Yeah, crafty, shrewd, arum, than any other beast of the field. Note that this implies that Ha-Nahash, the Nahash, the serpent, was originally a mammal rather than a reptile. This is the implication. When we study the text, there's an implication that Ha-Nahash was originally a mammalian, right, rather than a reptilian. Question 68. Why did Ha-Nahash, the serpent, go after Ha-Isha? Why did he go after Ha-Isha? Why did he go after the woman? Well, he sought to seduce her. He wanted to seduce her, right? He's crafty. He's clever. He wanted to seduce her, which some of the commentators say that it means that he lusted after her. So even this idea of seducing her was a sense of lusting after her, even in a carnal or a sexual way. And he wanted to kill Adam, right? He wanted to kill Adam because the serpent knew that the woman wasn't even there when the mitzvah was given to Adam. And since he understood, he's shrewd, he's crafty, he understands, you know, reading comprehension, so to speak. So if the woman did it, right, there's a question that she might like to eat of it. She might get away with it. But since a man was there, that's why he went and asked her. So when she began to answer like she was there, right, she in a sense was transgressing. But the disobedience is because Adam also being there, he went along with the wahala, with the drama. So the Nahash, he sought to seduce the woman, right, contextually lusting after her, even sexually, and wanted to kill Adam in order to have her, right, to have her for himself. All right, what did it say? Nothing new under the, Question 69. What did Ha-Nahash first say to the woman? In the King James Version, he says, yay, hath not God said? I mean, think about that kind of question. Yay, hath not God said? Like, yes, you know, that's the King James translation. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, well, basically, Ha-Nahash, he asked her whether it was true, whether Elohim, notice this, when we get to chapter 2, it's Yahweh Elohim. But then when Ha-Nahash gets in the picture and he starts to reason with the woman, right, even though the man there, he starts to reason with her, he doesn't mention Yahweh. He doesn't mention the Hashem. He just mentions Elohim. See, he's shrewd. He's crafty, right? But he wants to know whether it was true, right, that Elohim forbade her, forbade her from eating from any tree of the garden. And the truth of the matter is that no, Elohim did not forbid her because she was not even there, right? Of course, this was a deliberately misleading statement. The King James Version tried to bring it out with yay. Yay, have God not said? So he's like, yes, have God not. Yes, no, right? So the deliberately misleading statement to that Eve, right? Hawa, right? Zoe, Eve, Hawa, Haywan, she felt compelled to correct. I'm going to correct this serpent, right? And Adam just there watching the whole wahala, watching the whole drama. Now, there's a midrash, a study that states that Ha-Nahash, the serpent, enticed Hawa with piety, like with being like religious and faithful in that sense. You know what I mean? Oh, you such a good believer, right? Since you should not eat, right? Since you should not eat of the tree of knowledge, the tree of science,
You should abstain from all of the trees. If you can't eat from this tree, why can't you eat of any of these other trees? Where was the voice of justice, Adam? Question 70. Why did Hawa add? Why did she add to Yahweh Elohim's commandment by saying that she was forbidden to even touch? To even touch. He said, not only eat of it, but even touch the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Now you have to go back to chapter 2 and see how the word is, it explains what's what. And there's, you know, there's a lot of trickery, trick knowledge in Hanahash, but very clever, very shrewd. Most of these points, at once I began to recognize and see these, I'm like, man, it becomes so obvious. But when I hear other people comment on this narrative, they almost always miss these points, right? Because that's how clever Hanahash is, right? That's what it says, let he who has wisdom count the number, eh? Touch, it says, touch the fruit of the tree in the midst. In the midst of the garden, the midst of the garden. Genesis 3 and 3. Now, here's what's interesting about this particular verse right here. If you go back to Genesis 2, where it's told to Adam, it would appear that the tree of life is in the midst. But right nearby is the tree of the knowledge. But clearly the midst is pointing to the eighth Ha-Chayim, right? And then notice that when the Nahash answer, it says, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to die. In a sense, he was sort of correct because actually she was pointing to the other tree. Check it. See, Eve was apparently quoting her husband's words. You know, she could have, and here's a lesson. She could have said, hey, here's the dude. You know, here's man. You know what I mean? Here's Ish right here. Here's Ishi. Here's my Ish right here. My husband man right here. You know, ask him. Right, but notice that's the part that didn't happen. That's the lesson that's to be learned. Hawa was apparently quoting her husband's words, you know, even while he stood right by nearby. Right, in this connection, Adam. Right, if it's so that she was quoting his words, then this connection, Adam, therefore misquoted Yahweh Elohim, and he quote put a fence around Elohim's Torah by adding this restriction. Now, this is interesting because when Rabbeinu Yeshua, the rabbi of rabbis, confronted by them back then, you know, like we must confront these now, he said the same thing to them. You know, they also, right, they put a fence around Jah's Torah. How? By adding this restriction, adding something additionally. Right, and giving it the force, you know what I mean? That's why Yeshua was saying that man's commandment. It was pointing to what Yah had said, but adding, right, these restrictions. And HaSatan, the prosecutor, the adversary, the accuser, right? HaSatan was going to use this to his advantage. Note also that there is some question as to how was Eve's understanding of the consequences for disobedience in this case, lest you die, is not the same wording as die, you shall die, mot tamut. So the whole lest you die is a whole different wording than mot tamut. Death, you will be dying. You will die the death. Die, you will surely die. Why were their communication problems? Were there? It seems that there were communication problems even in Hagan, even in the garden, even in the Gan Ba'aden, the garden in delights. Question number 71. Why did Ha-Nahash, the serpent, tell Hawa that she would not die? He's slick. He told her that she would not die after she explained to her understanding Elohim's commandment to him, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, while the man was there with her. For the reason that we already cited, HaSatan, the prosecutor, right? Like the prosecution, you know, the adversary, the accuser, new Adam. You know what they call it? Like it's like entrapment. You know when they say entrapment? The prosecutor, Hasatan, knew how Adam had corrupted Elohim's message and didn't quite communicate it quite right. And he's standing there, and he could always correct it there, but he says nothing. And therefore, Hasatan sought to exploit this by showing Hawa that his words, so my Adam's words, you see, that's the Elohim, that Adam's words were not to be trusted. You know, and then they talk about nowadays relationship, you know, problems. Question number 72. What was HaNahash's appeal? What was his appeal? What was his appeal to Hawa? Now, we already know he was trying to seduce her. Did he have some sex appeal? What was HaNahash's appeal to Hawa according to Genesis 3 and 5? What was his appeal? His appeal was that her eyes would be open, and that she would be Ken Elohim, that you would be, that you can't trust this Ben Elohim, this son of God, Adam, right? This Elohim, you can't, but you now can be Ken Elohim, Ka Elohim. You can be like Elohim. How? Knowing, have the da'at of Tov Ra, of Tov, good, with, and Ra'a, of beneficial and harmful. Question 73. According to the Midrash, ancient study, why did Hawa, Eve, take of the fruit and eat? Well, during his seduction of Hawa, right in front of the man, HaNahash pushed, right? I said this is from the Midrash, bringing it out of reason. HaNahash is said to have pushed her into the tree, and she touched its forbidden fruit. And HaSatan then said, just as there is no death for touching it, so there is no death for eating it. HaNahash used this, according to the Midrash, as proof that his words were emet, true. And when Hawa saw that she could handle, first she took the fruit, didn't die. She could handle the fruit without being harmed. There's lo ra. There's no harmful. There's no evil. She believed, right? His words and the words of the Divrei Nahash, the words of the serpent. She then saw. Now this was it. Then she saw that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and so forth and so on. That was according to Midrash reasoning, right? Question 74, why did Adam eat the forbidden fruit offered, right, by the woman? Why did he eat? I mean, after knowing what he's knowing what you know, why did you do what you do? Why? Well, there's a lot of speculation, you know, yesterday and even today about this. But this is the reason why it was written there in Moshe's first book, right? For us to reason on it, right? And find the truth for ourselves. There's a lot of speculation about this. Some say Adam realized she was going to die, you know, right? And therefore he wanted to share her fate. Oh, that's touching, like a love story, right? Others say that Hawa demanded, others say now, she demanded Adam should eat it. And Adam, still untouched by chet, by sin, by forfeiture, was made more vulnerable to her as a seductress. You know what I mean? It's almost like the serpent was seeking to seduce her, right? She's getting up her seduction game. Did she seduce Adam? Some say that Hawa argued that Adam had been dishonest with her about touching the fruit, and therefore that it was unfair that he should escape her fate. One thing we know, and this is somewhat cryptic, is when Yahweh Elohim says to the man, Adam, he says about listening to the voice of your wife. Because you listen to the voice of your wife. It does imply that there's some more that went on that's not explicitly written,
right, but may be discerned implicitly. Now, it's not always wrong to listen to the voice of your wife. Notice when we get to Abraham, right, Abraham is told to listen to the voice of his wife. So we have to put things into context. Question 75 right here. What was the immediate consequence of their disobedience, according to Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 to 8? Well, according to the scripts, their eyes were opened. They realized that they were naked, and they became ashamed. They then sewed fig leaves together to make loincloth. Now, according to one teaching, Midrash, it says that they sewed the fig leaves together, some say using a thorn. But question here is, why fig leaves? Well, because they were the leaves of the forbidden fruit itself. Some say it was the fig tree. When they heard the voice, the call of Yahuwah, the call of Yahuwah, the voice of he who be walking. Check that. It didn't say that they heard Yahuwah walking. It said that they heard his voice, right? In the beginning was the word was with Elohim, and the word was Elohim, was the voice of Yahuwah walking in the garden, in the garden. They ran and hid themselves among the trees, presumably hoping that Yahuwah, that the voice of Yahuwah, right, wouldn't notice. Question 76. What did Yahuwah Elohim first say to the Adam, to the man, according to Genesis 3 and 9? Right? Genesis 3 and 9. What did he first say? Well, Yahuwah called out. Right? You know, he shouted out. You know, he gave Adam a shout out. Right? And asked, Eicha, to say, like, where are you? Now, here's what's interesting about the word Eicha, right? Eicha is the same name, Eicha. Eich is like to say how. Like, how do you do something? It's like, Eich, how do you do something? But here, Eicha, or Eicha. This is the same name as the word used in the Book of Lamentations. So the Book of Lamentations is called Eicha, right? This is the voice of a loving Abba, daddy, father, in search of Beno, in search of his son. Question 77. What was Adam's response to Yahuwah Elohim? According to Genesis 3, verses 10 to 12. Well, Adam essentially blamed Yahuwah Elohim himself, Atzmo, right? He basically blamed Elohim himself. How do we know that Adam basically blamed Elohim himself? Well, what did he say? He said, well, why have you done this? You know, why you ate of the tree that I command you not to eat? What's up? Right? The woman, what does Adam say? The woman, who? The woman whom you gave to be with me. She gave me from the tree, and I did eat. You get that right there? Basically, he blamed Yahuwah Elohim. That was his response. And he blamed the woman. He blamed Yahuwah and the woman. He didn't say nothing about no Nahash. That Nahash was chatting up my woman, man. I should have said something. You know, he didn't say nothing like that. But instead, he blamed Yahuwah Elohim. And firstly, blamed Yahuwah Elohim. He says, the woman whom you gave to be with me. If you didn't give me the woman, I wouldn't have done it, right? And therefore, she gave me. I didn't take of the tree, but, you know, she gave me, and I did. Adam did not take responsibility. Hebraically, Judaically, when we study it, that's what we see in it. I don't know if these Christians are so-called, Christians, not really Nazarenes, what they see in it, you know. But they using this narrative, they blame the woman, right? They say, if it wasn't for the woman, we wouldn't be in this world. You know what I'm saying? See, that's that Nahash. The Nahash is back at it. You know, wanted to seduce her. Now he's going to blame her. You know what I mean? So Adam didn't take responsibility.
right? And he blamed this fiasco, right, on the woman. It sounds like a lot of interpretations out there about this whole Genesis story from counterfeit Christianity, right? They always is a woman, it was a woman. What about Adam? Adam, Aka, where are you? Question 78, what did Yahweh Elohim say to the Isha, right, to the woman? And what did she respond? Like, what did she say in Genesis 3:13? And it's interesting to notice each of their, man, woman, notice each of their responses. Examine each of their responses. Now, what did Yahweh Elohim say to the woman, and what did she respond? Well, he said to the woman in the Hebrew, Mazot asit. Mazot asit. Mazot asit. What is this you have done? Ma, what, zot, this, asit? Ma, zot, asit. What is this that you have done? From this we learn, what do we learn from this? We learn that we should always ask a suspect for their own account. Shoftim, judges, we should always ask a suspect. Even if you heard something about the whole story, no, ask the suspect. What is your account of what happened? Mazot asit. Mazot asit. All right? What is this? What is this? All right? Ask the suspect for their own account of the matter. Why? Well, in order to present testimony that might help in their defense. See, you should never, as a, you know, the judges should never, you know, the judges are also called the Elohim. This is a little point of order. In order to present testimony that might help in their defense. The woman now, Isha, right, how did she respond? She responded by saying that Ha-Nachash, the serpent, had deceived her, had beguiled her, right, had tricked her out into disobeying Yahweh Elohim. So we examine the two responses, Adam and Ishto and his woman. It's very clear, you know, Adam blamed Yahuwah, and then he pinned it all on the woman. But then when Yahuwah turned to her and asked her, you know, what is this that you have done? Mazot asit, you know, she basically said that it was the serpent. It was the serpent that tricked me, you know, that tricked her into disobeying Yahuwah Elohim. And by extension to even maybe disobeying Adam, but definitely it was the serpent's fault. You know, she could have said a lot of other things. Adam was there, you know, he was listening, you know. He heard the whole conversation. He didn't say anything. Question 79. Why didn't Yahuwah Elohim interrogate the serpent? Think about it. Why didn't he interrogate Ha-Nachash? But instead, after he turned from the woman and after she gave her response, he immediately pronounced judgment, mishpat, right, upon this creature in Genesis 3:14, right? Well, Yahweh Elohim, he already knew that Ha-Nachash was the proverbial Satan, adversary in disguise. And therefore, there was no need for his testimony. Question 80. What were some of the curses or consequences pronounced upon Ha-Nachash, according to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 15? Well, Ha-Nachash was cursed with 10 curses. Check. He was cursed with 10 consequences. Because you've done this, hit him with the 10. Here are a few examples. First, Melakim, you know, the angels, right, descended, right? Now, this is according to some Midrash, but there's other Bacchative scripture, but we'll give you the overview. First, the angels descended to cut off his hands and feet. Second, he was required to eat the afar of the Adama, the dust of the earth, perhaps a symbol of the dust of death itself, or also since man was reformed or formed from the afar of the Adama, right, to eat man. Third, he was demoted to be reptilian, despite my despise from all other beasts of the field. Fourth, Ha-Nachash would have to shed its skin. Fifth, HaNahash would suffer everlasting, eternal enmity, hatred from the coming seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman who would one day deliver it a final death blow by crushing its head, by crushing the serpent's head. This is prophetic of Mashiach, Messiah, the serpent slayer, who would come to crush the head of HaNahash. Even if he was bitten, even if Moshiach is bitten in the heel during the battle, you know, biting on the heel, crush your head. Note that the phrase, thus afar you shall eat all the days of your life, refers to the messianic age where HaNahash will still be an enemy of Yah's people, of John's people of faith, of John's people who are John's people of faith, who are John's people of covenant. Question 80, right? Oh, no, I'm touching that. That was the 80th question right there. Question 80, some of the consequences. Question 81, what is the proto-wangelion? Proto-Evangelion, Proto-Wangelion, according to Genesis 3:15. What is it? The Proto-Evangelion, Proto-Wangelion, this is the gospel in the garden, otherwise known as there was a gospel, there was a good news in Hagan. The promise of the coming, quote, seed of the woman. So those women have seed, the coming seed of the woman. Or just this woman, the seed of the woman who would vanquish the serpent, the Nahash, that had originally tempted and deceived Hawa. Just as Hawa opened herself up to the corruption, right, of human nature, right, fallen human nature by heeding the voice of the tempter, so she would be opened up by Yahweh Elohim himself for the deliverance of humanity through the advent of the Redeemer. That's Yah's promise. That Yah's promise was first directed to HaSatan. It's surely by design. First, he directs it to Satan, to the enemy. You know, not to the one who he's defending, but he's warning, letting the enemy know. This is by design. Since he, quote, left his first estate, the Nahash left his first estate by becoming a monster, you know, in the garden, and was therefore primarily responsible for the transgression, the uckery of Adam and Eve in the first place. How do we know this? Well, Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 to 15 and verse 19. The promise, the yay, yay, the amen, amen, that was delivered to HaSatan was therefore one of coming retribution. In other words, like, you're going to get it, right? And divine judgment. Evil, right, Ra'a, would not have the last word. Evil, bad, harm, would not have the last word in the matter of humanity. And therefore, HaSatan's schemes would be avenged. You know, scheme your schemes, then see the woman will take that vengeance. His schemes would be avenged by Yahweh Elohim in the fullness of time. Nay, in the fullness of his time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. In a sense, this promise forms in the womb. The promise, it forms in the matrix of the matriarch, in the womb, the rechem, for the whole course of Elohim's redemptive plan for humanity, for the human race. The first prophecy of Torah clearly anticipated the coming of the Savior of humanity, as well as a cosmic sort of a battle between good and evil, or rather, good overcoming evil. Let's see if we can get at least one, two more questions in right here, right? Question
Question 82. Why are we, quote, saved by faith, be'emuna, right? By credit, by admittance, in Elohim's promise of the seed to come. Why are we saved by faith, credit, admittance in Elohim's promise of the seed to come? Well, just as Chawa, Eve, caused the consequences, caused the curse to descend because of her lapse of emuna, credit, faith, admittance. So we are healed by trusting in Yahuwah Eloheinu. Question 83. What are some of the curses, consequences pronounced upon the woman? What are some of the consequences pronounced upon the woman? Genesis chapter 3, 16. Well, according to the scripts, Torah says pain in childbearing, including the pain and the loss, right, of the monthly cycle, the difficulty of raising children, right, the subjugation, so to speak, of the woman to the man, and ultimately the curse or the consequence of mot tamut, right, of death itself. Question 84. What were some of the curses, consequences pronounced upon the mind, right? What were these consequences in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17? Well, as it is written, because Adam listened to Ishto, his wife, right, seductive or tempting speech, the ground, you know, the ground is called? The ground is called the Adama. How interesting. Adam came from the Adama. Well, next question, who is Adam's mama? Well, Adam came from the Adama, right? So the Adama, right, the ground, right, the ground would be cursed, would receive consequences, and Adam would eat of it in pain, or etzev, pain, toil, right, all the days of his life. Thorns and thistles will be brought forth to vex the land and the man. And Adam would have to put sweat, right? You have to sweat to make a living, right? To make it livable. Ultimately, Adam was consequenced, right? With banishment from Hagan and with mot tamut, with death, dying the death itself. Question 85, we're going to seal up right around here. Yeah, willing, we'll leave the last five, right, for the forward, seeing the time right here. If Yahweh Elohim said that, quote, on the day, right, on the day that Adam ate from the eighth da'ata tovarah, the tree of the knowledge of science of beneficial and harmfulness or good and evil, that he would surely die, mot tamut, how come, ones ask, how come he lived to be 930 years old, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 5, verse 5? Well, it's all about the term, the Hebrew term, and also the Ethiopic term, yom. The term yom, in this case, is grammatically not qualified by number. So when you study in the Hebrew, you can see that it's grammatically not qualified by number or in relation to other parts of the calendar, and therefore is a general term that can mean a period of time. Since Adam died before he reached the ripe old age of 1,000, however, and since a, quote, day is as 1,000 years to Yahuwah, how do we know this? Well, Psalm 90, verse 4, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Adam died on that day. That's why the Hebrew sense of it, again, is you'll be dying, you know, you'll be dying the death. But here, you know, it's a little uplift right here. For this sabbatical, for this time right here. Here we have today's first day psalm right here. Here in the season, Psalm 146. Here it is.
Yes, hallelujah. Come free me. מזמור קמ"ו, הללויה. הללי נפשי את אדוני, אהללה אדוני בחיי, אזמרה לאלוהי בעודי. אל תפתחו בנדיבים בבן אדם שאין לו תשועה, תצא רוחו ישוב לאדמתו, ביום ההוא עבדו עשתונותיו. אשרי שאל יעקב ועזרו, סברו על אדוני אלוהיו. עושה שמיים וארץ, את הים ואת כל אשר בם, השומר אמת לעולם. עושה משפט לעשוקים, נותן לחם לרעבים, אדוני מתיר אסורים, אדוני פוקח עברים, אדוני זוקף כפופים, אדוני אוהב צדיקים, אדוני שומר אתגרים, יתום ואלמנה יעודד, ודרך רשעים יעוות. ימלוך אדוני לעולם, אלוהיך ציון לדור ודור, הללויה.
Hallelujah, and a Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, a good strong seven. Hashem
Adonai Eloheinu.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tawab, Shavua Tov, Shavua, Shavua, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
And just hear the Sabbath seal psalm, also the Baraka for the time to come right here. Psalm 144, after the Shabbat, peace comes intrusion of the world here, the first day, blessed first day, and Shabuah, Shabuah Tov right here. Psalm 144, out there.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.